Hey, good day, everybody. Thanks for joining in and listening to the podcast. My name is Brian. I'm the worship leader over at Waleska First Baptist Church. And this is More Than Music, where we connect songs to Scripture. I hope you realize that the things that we sing on Sunday morning are much more than just songs. And I hope not only that you sing with us, but you also have an understanding of what we are singing. And really, what I'm hoping to do is just provoke some thought and questions, and I would love to have some discussion about scriptures that come to your mind when you sing these songs. And I hope that these songs raise in you a desire for the Word of God, that not only would you tear up over these beautiful old tunes, and some of the newer ones are also glorious, but that you would recognize what is lying underneath. Man, there's a treasure trove of stuff that comes out of especially some of these hymns. So let's dig into one today. This first one is In Christ Alone. Now, this was written in 2002 by Keith and Kristen Getty. If you don't know them, you've been living under a rock because these are some of the most prolific modern hymn writers living today. I think these guys have written so many songs that the church will be singing hundreds of years from now. If you've been in our church any length of time, you're bound to hear some of their lyrics popping through here. The power of their lyrics is you know, wonderful, but we know that there is scripture behind this stuff. And so let's dig into that a little bit. Essentially, what I'm doing to prepare for this podcast is I am just looking at the lyrics of these songs and seeing something that catches my eye. And I'm using a little app like I think Pastor Nick likes Bible Hub. I personally like Blue Letter Bible. Nothing against Bible Hub. It's just I've used Blue Letter Bible for a long, long time, and that's kind of the thing I'm familiar with. So I'll take a couple of words out of the song, and I'll look them up and find what scriptures kind of go with it. So one of the lines of In Christ Alone that stuck out to me was the second line of the first verse. So it says, so they're in the ground. Oops, sorry, wrong verse. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Well, that's beautiful. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Where does that come from? So I type that into Blue Letter Bible as I'm doing right now. And Isaiah 12:2 was one of the things that popped up. It says this: Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Look, there you go. There's scripture. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. So great. So that's something there. There was something behind that. So let me just go on to the next line here. This cornerstone, this solid ground. That's the third line of the song. Whoa, they are already going in deep with this. Like, okay, cornerstone. There's something that caught my eye. Cornerstone is one of those important things in the Bible. Jesus is referred to as a cornerstone. Is the rock the builders rejected. And there's this whole story that you can look up if you want to look up the rock the builders, not suggested, but rejected. And that was Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 28:16, if you want to flip there, let's read Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I cannot help but see Jesus in this. In this verse, costly stood out to me. Do you realize how costly Jesus Christ was for God to send? It was his own son. You know, what he told Abraham to do with Isaac, he actually did with his son. So he spared Isaac, Abraham's son, but he actually did not spare his own. What a gracious God is a costly cornerstone. firmly placed. And you wonder if Keith and Kristen Getty read this, and that's how they got that line. I'm curious. You know, I'd love to ask them. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. So clearly Isaiah is talking about something other than a physical cornerstone here. Why would you need to believe in a cornerstone if it's just a rock in the side of a building? Well, we know that this is alluding to Jesus Christ in some way. So just, man, what a thought that comes out of this this line here. I typed in cornerstone to Blue Letter Bible. That's what I got, man. One of those texts, just one. So next thing here in verse 2, the first line of verse 2, in Christ alone who took on flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind went straight to John chapter 1. And actually, I didn't hardly need to use Blue Letter Bible for this one, because this is one of those that just, man, it sticks in your mind for some reason. It's one of those, John at the beginning of his gospel has this like monologue deal where he narrates a little bit before he gets into the story. And John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Can you imagine seeing Jesus in the flesh? I'll tell you this. I honestly don't think it's that impressive. I believe we've got something better. I think we've got the Spirit of God dwelling in us. I think when Peter said long after the fact that now you've got something better, you've got the Scriptures, I think that's 1 Peter 2, he says that, like, we saw Jesus in person, but now you have the Scriptures, which is even more sure. I forget exactly where that's at, but it's like, so, yeah, John saw him in flesh, and see, John even had a better experience, because John got to see the dove landing on Jesus, and the clouds opening up or whatever, and God coming out and saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, obey him," or whatever else he said. Man, what an experience! So he got to see the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's just in Christ alone who took on flesh. Fullness of God and helpless babe. Can we really pack the fullness of God into helpless babe? Can you do that? Well, God knows how to wrap perfect gifts. So he managed to stuff it all into a human shell and deliver it to us in something we can understand and relate to. We call it Jesus, and that's who he sent. So great news for us. Amazing what comes out of these lyrics. So if you just type it, I think I typed in flesh, and I'm curious to know what scriptures came to your mind when you were looking at this. So further down in verse 2, there's this line, "The wrath of God was satisfied." The wrath of God was satisfied. That did not bring anything straight to mind, but in a quick search of Blue Letter Bible, Romans 5, and there's just a couple of verses here. I think it is 5:8-10. Romans 5:8-10 says, "For God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The wrath of God is satisfied. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God." That is scriptural truth right there. The wrath of God was satisfied. There was one other that came up when I typed this in. John 3:36. The wrath of God being satisfied. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So this is like the inverse. This is the bad news, that if you don't, then you still got the wrath of God, son. You better get yourself together. Or excuse me, you better let Christ get you together. There's the other side of it. Like, So he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. We can see, too, here that, you know, obeying has something to do with this, too. So there's a connection there. If you know and believe in the Son of God, you're going to end up obeying him, too. Moving on. If I spend too long on the scripture, this podcast is never going to get done. Okay, so let's go down to verse 3 in the song here. A little ways down the verse, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. You know, that's beautiful, beautiful. We sing it, I'll never think about it, okay? Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. I type in, sin power, you know, because sin's got a grip on us. It's part of our nature, especially before we meet Jesus. And you know, the flesh is still there after we meet Jesus. So let's type in. Well, hang on a second. I got my verses here. I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 56 and 57. 1 Corinthians 15, if you know, is like one of those passages. This is a lot about like Easter Sunday stuff. So you might hear this one on an Easter Sunday. The Mystery of Resurrection is the title there, on at least in a blue letter Bible. But there's like the resurrection of Jesus and how the body and... Anyway, again, I'm getting carried away with the scripture bit. So 1 Corinthians 15, 56, hopefully you got there by now while I was rambling, but the sting of death is the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I got to say that therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, the power of sin has been defeated. Death no more has sting because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his victory. Hopefully, those two lines mean just a little bit more to you now. I hope they do, and I hope that you go and search a little bit harder and find something else in the scripture and tell me about it. I want to hear about it on Sunday morning after the service. Please stop me and pour scripture on me if you want. I will not mind. All right? So there's one more here I want to explore before we sign off today. And this is verse 4, and it's like almost the whole verse. So, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. I have a reference here that I wrote down before the video here. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Let's look it up real quick. I'm going to type it in here. Hopefully you're flipping through the Bible, which is exactly what we're trying to do, is connect songs with scripture. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it's written, for your sake we are being put to the death all the day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah, amen. I mean, okay, so This is what comes out of these songs. You just look up, Jesus commit, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Do you see how that is, where that comes from? This is where that comes from. Nothing can pluck you from his hand. No created thing. You know what that means? Anything. Anything. Jesus created all things. He was the firstborn of all creation. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that means something ridiculous, but we know that firstborn means he is the preeminent one. He was not created himself. He just abides over all of it. So amazing that God, we cannot be separated from God by anything. Hear me out on this one. That includes us. So guys, I hope you had a wonderful time listening to me get excited over the scripture. And I hope that you think about this song and some of the words in it, if you go and listen to it, and it provokes a thought in you, and you hear something that stands out to you in this song, you know, write it down, write a word down, and look it up on Blue Letter Bible or Bible Hub or one of these things, and explore that scripture. These songs are made to teach us theology. They're made to teach us and admonish us for the way we're living. They should make us better people because they have the scripture in them, guys. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I look forward to the next one. Thank you, guys, signing off.